Ms. Rawls.
Good morning, Your Honor. Meredith Rawls, on behalf of Mr. Castillo, and joining me at council table, but who will not be arguing, is Catherine Martel. Your Honors, this appeal presents two issues. One, whether the circuit court erred in denying our request for compelled immunity, and two, whether the general Fifth Amendment assertion by the material witness was sufficient to dismiss the material witness warrant.
The government says there's no jurisdiction.
Your Honor.
There's a third issue for you.
Yes, Your Honor. We believe neither of these issues are.
I ask you why it's not moot. It'd be a fourth issue for you.
Yes, Your Honor. These issues are not waived or moot. Mr. Castillo asserted throughout the entire proceedings that the material witness should be held to testify at trial. At no point did he back off of that assertion. Mr. Castillo was under no obligation to request a deposition, and instead relied on his request that the material witness be held until trial. The government may have some duty to request a deposition, as we stated in our brief, but Mr. Castillo had no such.
The trial's over.
Yes, Your Honor, it is.
The trial's over, and that's another appeal.
Yes, Your Honor, that appeal
will be
heard next.
You don't raise it in
that appeal. Well, Your Honor, we had raised it here in an under seal matter.
But this was, it comes up on a, you got it coming up here, pre-trial.
Yes, Your Honor. Apparently, the material witness had been deported and no longer subject to subpoena or arrest in the United States. In that case, we argue the court has power to fashion other remedies. At the time that the appeal had been noted, the trial was still pending, and the.
Well, don't you have to raise it in the appeal from the final judgment as an error committed during the course of the trial?
Your Honor,
then as a mid-trial or pre-trial collateral order appeal of some kind, where there's no jurisdiction.
Your Honor, this was a final order dismissing a warrant, and that is the final order from which we're appealing.
They had to put a different number on it, but it was. You want to call a witness? The judge, if you want to call a witness at the trial, the judge rules up or down on whether you can call the witness. You didn't get to call the witness.
That's correct, Your Honor, because.
And the failure to call the witness or the judge's failure to let you call the witness and to make a ruling in favor of giving him immunity deprived you of the testimony. So you got an argument there of a trial error that the judge should have given him immunity or ordered him to give him immunity. He could never do that. I'm not sure he could ever do it, but you did get the issue raised, but don't you have to raise it as a trial error?
Your Honor, this case is.
You can consolidate it in the next case or something. I don't know.
Your Honor, this case is a little different.
How's collateral order? How's it jurisdiction?
Your Honor, it's a little different because we have a material witness warrant that was dismissed. And.
Does that make it a collateral order?
Your Honor, it is an independent proceeding, we would argue. The
trial's up. You wanted to use testimony for the trial.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you didn't get it.
That's correct.
So you're claiming you were deprived of a new trial, of a fair trial. I assume that by the fact you didn't get the testimony.
That would be one issue, yes, Your Honor. And because we've been.
But you don't argue that in the trial.
That's the only issue you have, right? I mean, how could any other issue merit to make any difference now? The trial's gone. So you assert because you didn't get your relief here?
That's correct, Your Honor. The material witness had been deported as a result of the warrant being dismissed. At the time that we noted the appeal and the time that the government filed their brief in opposition, the trial was still ongoing. And at that time,
are you saying that we made a mistake in not ruling immediately on this?
No, Your Honor, but the situation, we admit the situation has changed at the time that we noted the appeal, the remedy could have been to reverse the order and allow the
during the trial or before the trial. This went on during the trial, right?
But
the trial lasted a while.
The trial did last a while.
And this was going on either immediately pre-trial or during the trial. And if we had ruled then in your favor, you might have benefited you at the trial. But now the trial's over with.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
So why isn't it moot? Beyond that, how was there any jurisdiction anyway? You had to raise it during the trial. Judge, you should have let us call this witness and you should give him immunity. So because he's going to exculpate us. And then he said, I'm going to take the Fifth Amendment. The judge says, I can't make him testify, and I'm not going to give him immunity. So you're saying the judge is wrong. And you need to raise that post-trial as a claim that you didn't get a fair trial. I think, but I don't know.
Your Honor, the difference here is that it was not merely a subpoena for a witness.
It was a material witness warrant.
It was a material witness warrant, yes, right. Your Honor.
Which was dismissed.
Yes, Your Honor. And normally those, as I understand it, those warrants are issued on the behalf of the government. And in this case, it was a defendant, Mr. Castillo, who requested the issuance of the warrant.
And he got it.
Yes, Your Honor, he did get it.
The judge dismissed it because he said, I'm not going to give him or order the government to give him immunity. He says he'll take the Fifth Amendment, so he can't testify. Because the government wants to say that they say they want to prosecute him in the state court.
Yes, right? Your Honor. Yes. However, because this witness was
immunity has to go. You'd have to get Judge Lee would have had to order the Attorney General of the United States to order or direct the United States Attorney to seek immunity.
Yes, right? Your Honor. Yes.
Which is a big step.
It is a big
step. In and of itself. And the only authority you got is that, you know, there's been some kind of gross misconduct or something on the part of the prosecutor. The court could consider that kind of stuff.
Your Honor, the standard is not gross misconduct. The as cited in Moussaoui, which relies on Westerdahl and that line of cases, the required showing is prosecutorial misconduct and the two prongs in Westerdahl.
The statute doesn't give any judge a power to do that kind of stuff. The statute just says that immunity, only a ward of immunity has to be requested by the Attorney General.
That's correct, Your Honor, but this
doesn't give judges any authority to do it. They talk about doing it under the Due Process Clause.
Yes, Your Honor.
Give somebody a fair trial.
Yes, Your Honor, and under Moussaoui, that's been recognized as the majority rule that's followed also in courts in this circuit.
But it's for extreme situation.
Yes, Your Honor, and when someone is charged with murder of this type, where the government's only evidence essentially is...
But this guy was a participant in it.
It appears so, Your Honor, but so he was not subject to any federal prosecution.
People you give immunity to?
Your Honor, he was not just a regular co-defendant. He was, he had been prosecuted in federal court, and then the federal prosecutors ceased that prosecution and stated to the court that they were not going to further prosecute this individual, and that in fact, a grant of...
I don't understand how you expected to gain anything from this issue.
What do you wish?
Because the... The testimony that was talked about here seemed to be anything but exculpatory. The witness had actually seen the murder, had he not?
Yes, Your Honor, it appears that he had.
Didn't he see Castillo holding down the feet of the victim? During the whole proceeding?
Your Honor, that's not what the witness stated in his statements. He stated that an individual that he knew as Lil Payaso had held down the feet, but Mr. Castillo denies that he's known as Lil Payaso and that there were other individuals, also known as Lil Payaso. And this,
to me, he would be, this would be the last person Castillo would want on the stand.
Well, Your Honor, if
he's got his involvement, I mean, he's going to testify to his involvement and what he was doing to the victim.
Well, Your Honor, if he had testified, we believe that he would have testified that Mr. Castillo wasn't present, and he had been unable to identify Mr. Castillo in the interview with federal agents or when he testified in the court. And we expected that testimony to continue to be consistent when he testified on Mr. Castillo's behalf under the material witness warrant.
How can it be an abuse of discretion to decline to compel immunity? I mean, immunity is generally something that's within the prosecutor's discretion. I mean, it's not something that district judges just, whether to immunize a witness is not something that district judges often jump into.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
It's very, very unusual for a district judge to be ordering a prosecutor to grant someone immunity, especially when the material witness is likely to be prosecuted himself. Why would they grant him immunity?
Your Honor, it is a unique situation, but this was a unique case where this witness...
He'd be undermined to follow up on what Judge Wilkinson said, for the judge to say, I'm going to give him immunity, or order you to give him immunity, the judge would be undermining a state criminal prosecution.
Your Honor, that is not correct.
Well, they were going to prosecute him in state court.
Yes, as we understand it, the state court was intending to prosecute this individual. But as was conceded by the government in their statements in Joint Appendix 66 and 67 by trial counsel, such a grant of immunity would not foreclose a state prosecution. It would also, in the opinion of the prosecutor who is arguing, would not prevent further proceedings under Castigar, as they believe that their investigation had been fully completed. Regardless,
they jumped through enough hoops to prove it's not tainted, they could still prosecute him, you'd say.
That's what the trial counsel for the government stated during their argument, was that their investigation had been completed, that this individual was not going to be... Sorry?
What did the state prosecutor say?
We don't have their statements on the record.
He's in charge of the prosecution over in state court.
Yes,
Your Honor. State prosecutor.
Yes, Your Honor. The only indication we have from the state prosecutor was that they were merely waiting for the completion of the federal prosecution to initiate the state prosecution against the material witness. I see that my time is up. I reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
You have some rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Calazan. Mr. Calazan, the case here seems to be so insubstantial on the merits. On the one hand, there's an attack upon the district court's refusal to compel immunity. And district judges rarely inject themselves in the absence of any prosecutorial bad faith, and there's no evidence of prosecutorial bad faith here. And the district judges don't sua sponte require prosecutors to compel immunity except in extraordinary situations. And then the other challenge is to the dismissal of the material witness warrant. Well, I mean, the material witness has a liberty interest, and Castillo, the witness was probably going to invoke the Fifth, so I don't know what value the testimony would have been. And Castillo, for some reason, didn't ever request the deposition of DBE. In fact, he affirmatively waived it, probably because he was afraid of what DB would testify to, either in a deposition or a trial. So there doesn't seem to be a, just speaking purely for myself, a shred of merit to the claims that the district judge abused his discretion, the district court abused his discretion, either in denying the motion to compel immunity or in dismissing the material witness warrant. Now, why can't, is there some way we can simply consolidate this with the other cases that are being argued here on appeal, and just deal briefly with the merits and wrap them up in one proceeding? Because there's nothing to it, and just as far as I'm concerned, to this material witness business. I don't even think it's exculpatory, and that's why they didn't want him deposed.
Your Honor, I should take your words seriously. When you say there's nothing to it, that's a good sign for me to say perhaps it's not a bad idea for you just to consolidate it and address it. But I should say I want to reserve the point that they had 20,000 words in their main brief, and of those 20,000 words, not a single word was spent on this. So they had the opportunity to choose. They picked 13
You're
issues.
You're talking about the main brief in the other case.
Yes, and perhaps I'm not.
That this issue is not raised in the other case.
This issue is not raised in the other case.
Well, but they had this appeal pending, and maybe they got some explanation. Well, we already raised it, and we thought we had it pending in the Fourth Circuit anyway.
Even a footnote in the 85.
I mean, Castillo's an appellant.
That's correct.
In the other case as well.
That's correct.
So it seems to me that just in terms of the efficiency of it and to avoid wrangling with whether the material witness question is an appealable collateral order or whatever, it'd just be possible to consolidate it and to deal with the material witness claims on the merits as we address the merits of the fourth case. Why wouldn't that be just a clean way of addressing it, particularly because I don't know. They didn't, as you point out, they didn't even raise this material witness case because it's just not substantial.
And I agree with that, and I take your point about simple resolution. I don't want to fight you on that. I would just say from our perspective of the U.S. Attorney's Office, we get a 85-page brief with 13 issues. I think I owe it as an advocate for my client to say, no, I'd like to push back and not give them the chance to add on more issues.
The best argument against what you're saying there now is if you push it, you make a rule on the jurisdiction in this kind of a thing, and you get a bad ruling down the road on whether you can get a brief middle of the trial appeal. Why do you want to deal with that?
I think that we're safe under 3171, and there are differences between when the government has appeal rights under 3171 and here, where this is clearly not an appeal from a final order, clearly not a permissible collateral order doctrine under Cohen. It doesn't meet the three-factor test. They haven't even responded to our points that there's no jurisdiction.
So the easiest, I guess your response, and maybe you're getting to it, your best response is, there's no jurisdiction for us to hear this case, so why should we lap it into the fourth case?
That's exactly right.
And the easiest way to dispose of it is to find there was no jurisdiction.
That's right, and they've waived the response on our jurisdiction point, not even filed a reply to say why we're wrong. We're not wrong. There's clearly no jurisdiction here. It's a classic interlocutory order. They could have raised this issue in their brief after trial. Every other case where you see material witness warrant cases or motions to compel immunity, those are after final judgments. So I don't think it's even a close call that there's no jurisdiction. That, Judge Wilkinson.
Maybe if you're right on that, then, and you won't agree that Judge Wilkinson's reasonable suggestion, you're setting it all up for a 2255 after the next case.
I would say it's not a meritorious issue to raise in the main appeal, so I wouldn't concede that we're setting up for 2255.
But and you may be right, but that doesn't mean it's not going to be raised.
I would just say that they raised the issues they did. This issue, in our view, is so meritless. It didn't deserve to be raised in the first brief, and it didn't deserve to be raised in the second brief. But if they thought it had a shred of merit to it, they could have put it in. So we think the jurisdictional route is the cleanest kill. I won't wrestle with the court if the court wants to do something differently. But from our perspective, when you have 20,000 words, and when we work hard to respond to those 20,000 words, we want to encourage defendants to.
If there's no jurisdiction,
there's no choice for the court. So unless the court has any further questions for me, I'll gladly yield my time.
Is it moot?
It is moot. It became
because the trial is completed.
I would say it's waived because the trial is completed and it was not raised in the main briefs after the trial.
We haven't gotten to that case yet.
But it's moot because the witness is gone.
The witness is gone, the trial's over.
There's no relief that this court can provide. The witness is gone.
So
and the
issues sought to be raised here about the immunity and material witness warrant are moot.
Moot, but without jurisdiction and waived.
And if it rules there's no jurisdiction, we wouldn't have to address the mootness question.
That's correct.
That brings you back to this case.
That's right.
You first say it's with no jurisdiction. And then you secondly you say it's moot. And thirdly you say the judge is right anyway.
That's exactly correct.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Ross.
Thank you, Your Honor. In replying to the court's suggestion of consolidation, we would support that suggestion. Your Honor, regarding the brief in the next case, there were 20,000 words, but there were 8 defendants in a 7-week jury trial, and this case was already pending. Your Honor, Mr. Castillo didn't request a deposition. As we stated, he wanted live trial testimony, and the material witness's testimony was intended to rebut and contradict government witness testimony, which had not been presented yet. The district judges don't sua sponte compel immunity, but this was not a sua sponte matter. We requested it, and we had a hearing on it. And, Your Honor, this is not waived. It's a final order dismissing a warrant, we therefore argue that it's not moot and that we have not waived any of our arguments. In our opening brief, continued to state that, and in our initial argument, continued to state that it was a final order dismissing a warrant, and we have not waived that argument. So, pending further questions from the court, we ask for a reversal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll come down and greet counsel, move into our last case.